On Daf Zayinom and Beis, let's just go back and review Daf Zayinom and Aleph, the main thrust of Rav Nachman's insight into the Machlokes in the Braisa between Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi about the case of Shnayim Adukim B'Shtar. According to Rebbe, says Rav Nachman, Rebbe holds that modu b'shtar sheksomo tzarech lekaimo, which means that the love is going to be believed to say that he paid back the loan, even though he admits that the shtar is a valid shtar, because the halacha requires validating the shtar. The status of the shtar before kiyum is the same as chaspa b'alma. It's completely stripped of its kenechkara, of its status as a shtar. And if the lov is the one who admits that the shtar is a valid shtar, the lov is believed to say that he paid back the loan. However, if the shtar is mekuyam, then Rebbe agrees to Rav Shimon Gamliel. We apply the principle of our Mishnah, Shnayim Ochsim Vitalis Yachloku, Shnayim Aduka Bishtar Yachloku, and the Lo will pay half the Chol. That's the opinion of Rebbe. Rav Shimon Gamliel, on the other hand, holds that Modu Bishtar Shiksovo ain't Tzarch Lekaimo, and since the Lo doesn't deny the veracity of the Shtar, therefore the Shtar is considered for all intents and purposes the Kuyom. And therefore, even if the Malva does not have the ability to be Makayim the Shtar, and the only source for the Kiyum Shtar is that of the Lova, nevertheless the Shtar is considered Mekuyom. We have no witnesses to testify about the Eidim, but the Lova's admission is good enough. Then we went on the bottom of Zayin Omer Al, to discuss the case of a Shtar that was Nafal Yad Dayan, and the Braisa says Lo Yotziu Olamis, which basically means that the Malva is going to suffer the loss here. The Shtar is considered a lost Shtar, and we're not going to return the Shtar to the Malva. So the Gemara wanted to know, and that was the last thing we discussed yesterday, why does the Braisa isolate or single out the case of Yad Dayan? Lechora, logically, we would have said that this same halacha of a shtar sha'av and a shtar that was lost should apply even if it wasn't found by the dayan, right? He wasn't the one who found it. Let's say somebody else found it. So on the top of Daf Zayin of Beis, we studied the interpretation of Rava. Rava says the following, that if an acher, if somebody else, not the malvin, not the lovin, not the dayan, finds a shtar, then that's one case. Then there's going to be a case where somebody finds the shtar liyad dayan, and that's a different case. So here's where we introduce the concept of henpeg. And Rava says the following. Acher, this is what the Braisa has in mind. Acher, he's not the lover of the Malva. Shemotza shtar shenofal liyad dayan. Is then hechidomi, what's the case? If the kasev be henpeg, if there's a kiyum written in the shtar, we gave the example of a notarized document, that Beis Din notarized this shtar, that it's a valid shtar, there was kiyum on the shtar, then lo yotziu olamis, that we do not, and nobody, not the Malva nor the Lova, we do not take the shtar out of the hands of the one who found it forever and ever. In other words, we need to wait till Eidim testify who dropped the shtar. And it seems that if it was Vadai that the shtar fell from the Malva, we could return the shtar to the malva. This case is where we have no clue as to who actually dropped the shtar. So in such a case, the shtar loses its validity, its status. Lo yotzio olamis. And that's even if it has a henpek on it. So now the Gemara explains. We have now interpreted the Braisa that the shtar has a henpek, it's already makuyo. And nevertheless, the Gemara says, it's not that the Braisa wants to tell you that since the shtar, that if it had been a shtar she'eda makuyim, the din would change. That doesn't make any sense. If a shtar makuyim is lo yotzio olamis, and it's not valid, we're not going to return it to the malva, then how much more so if the shtar is eino makuyim? And that's called in the Gemara's language, lo miboy. I don't have to tell you, lo kosav be b'shtar henpeg, the shtar is completely meaningless, it doesn't have a kiyum on it. De'ikol meimar kosav lilvos v'lo lova. When you find a shtar, and the shtar has no kiyum to it, no one's holding on to the shtar, then for sure, we have to assume, or at least relate seriously to the possibility, that this shtar was written by the lover for the purpose of eventually receiving a loan, but he never actually received a loan. And the chiddush of the Braisa is, alafilu kosa be henpek, even though the shtar has a henpek, which means that Beis Din was mekayim the shtar, and now they validated it, nevertheless, lo yachzir, we did not return it to the malva. Even though the fact that there was a kiyum of the shtar proves that there was a matmos, I mean, it's impossible now to believe the lover if he claims that he never got the money. But nevertheless, we will not return to the shtar to the malva. The chayshina lipiron. We always have to be afraid that maybe the lover paid up the chov. Which means that after the lover paid up the chov, he got the shtar back from the malva, and he unfortunately dropped the shtar. We found the shtar, it's a shtar makuyam. You might want to say that once it's makuyam, then we should give it back to the malva. But no, we're not going to give it back to the malva. That's in the case of kosabe henpek. And the reason for that is because we're always afraid that maybe it was the lova who dropped the shtar. So that's a chiddush of the Braisa. The Braisa wants to tell you it's upgrade. It goes without saying that if the shtar is eino makuyam, then it has no validity, and it's possible that there was never alva. But the chiddush is that even if it has a henpek, it's makuyam. Which means that definitely there was alva, as the shtar testifies. Nevertheless, chayshin lepiron. Why? Because the malva is not holding on to the shtar. And we see clearly from this sugya the significance of tfisas bala shtar. What generates the edus of the shtar and activates the shtar and validates it is the tfisa of the bala shtar. Here, there's no tfisa. Why? Because it was found by someone, a third party. Neither the malva nor the lova has tfisa. And therefore we always have to be choshish lepiron, and we cannot return the shtar to the malva. So that sort of completes much of what we discussed yesterday. Now we're up to Rabbi Yossi Omer. So if you're finding the place on Daf Zion Amud Beis, you'll count down from the top of the omen, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down from the top, at the end of the sixth line. Rabbi Yossi Omer, again, we're talking about a case where you find the shtar makuya, and it was found next to the dayan. Is Rabbi Yossi says, arei hu b'cheskasa, that the shtar, since it was makuyam, is still valid. The Eidus Ashtar is valid testimony. And give it back to the Malva. V'lo chayshin lepiron. we're not going to suspect that maybe the lover paid back the chov. It's not usual for the lover to pay back the chov without returning the shtar. I mean, there's always going to be a swap here. You know, the lover gives the money and the malva gives him the shtar. That's what happens. Or perhaps the lover is going to force the malva to rip up the shtar, destroy the shtar. But whatever it is, he's not going to let the malva hold on to the shtar. And if the malva is holding on to the shtar, then we're not going to believe the lover to say parati, because the shtar is now validated. And that's what Rabbi Yossi holds, Harei b'chizkoso, meaning give it back to the malva. So the Gemara immediately asks, v'lo chayish Rabbi Yossi l'piron? Rabbi Yossi doesn't consider the possibility that maybe the loan was already repaid. V'asanya, we learned in a braisa, matza shtar k'suma b'shuk, bizman sh'abal moder, yachsi l'isha. Ain't about moder lo yasir lola zer velola zer. Rabbi Yossi Omer oda tachas baila yasir leisha is arvola onis garsha lo yasir lola zer velola zer. So from this brisa of Rabbi Yossi in the case of a shtar k'suma that was found in the shuk, we're going to prove that Rabbi Yossi himself is choshesh lepiron. We're afraid that maybe the lover paid up the chov and he dropped the shtar and it was found. And this contradicts Rabbi Yossi's position as formulated in the braisa that harehu b'chizkoso, that we can return the shtar to the malva and we're not choshesh lepiron. So the braisa tells us that if the husband, but only if the husband is moder, that he owes the ksuba, then the ksuba is returned to the isha. But if the baal denies it, he claims that he already paid up the ksuba, and he dropped the ksuba, then lo yachzir. We don't return the ksuba, not to the baal, nor to the isha. And Rabbi Yossi says that oda tachas baila, if he hasn't yet divorced his wife, then yachzir leisha. We assume that ein onem parei chovo toch zmano, that before he divorced, so he's not going to pay up the ksuba, he's not obligated to pay up the ksuba, but nisarmala niskarsha. But if the marriage came to an end, it was terminated either by his death, and she wants to collect the ksuba from his yarshim, or it was terminated by a divorce, by the giving of a get, is then Rabbi Yossi says lo yachzir lo lezeh v'lo lezeh. We're afraid that maybe he paid the ksuba either before he died or after he divorced her. But we see clearly from this price that Rabbi Yossi is also committed to the position that if you find the shtar, we have to worry, consider the possibility of pirona, we don't return the shtar. So why is it that in the case of shtar makuyam, which means that in the case of shtar shenofal liad liadayon and kosev bo henpeg, Rabbi Yossi says that harehu b'ches kosev, the shtar is returned to the malva. Why not say that since the shtar was lost, we should be choshish to be wrong, which is exactly what Rabbi Yossi's position is in the case of a lost ksuba, and she wants to get back a ksuba to collect it. We don't return the ksuba to her, because we're afraid that maybe the baal, before he died, or after the get, he paid up the ksuba. So the Gemara first answers, epoch, that in the first price we have to change around the names, switch around Rabbi Yossi and the Chacham. And here's the way we are going to formulate the price according to this new epoch. Nafal yadayim. Is Rabbi Yossi says lo yotzio olamis? In other words, since the malva dropped the shtar, and when the shtar was dropped and we found it, we have to assume the possibility that the lov indeed paid up the chov. We can't give the shtar back to the malva. Chachamim omer arei b'cheskoso. Adarab, it's the chachamim who say that since the shtar is mekuyam, therefore we assume that the shtar is still valid and it should be returned to the malva. The Gemara says, "Ihochi, you haven't really solved the problem. You just created another problem. Why? Because Kasha, the Rabbanon, Ad the Rabbanon. Now the Chachamim are really contradicting themselves, because in the first price, the way you're reformulating through the Epoch, where we found the Shtar Liadayon, the Chachamim are not worried about Piron, but yet in the case of the Shtar Ksuba, the Chachamim say we don't give it back to the Isha." When the Baal is claiming Piron, we are Choshesh for Piron. So the Gemara reconciles this. The Brisa of the Shtar Ksuba is Kula Rabbi Yossi, V'chisuri Mechser. We have to add words to the Brisa. We have to fix up the Brisa. It should say the following: Matzah Shtar Ksuba B'shuk. Bisman Shabal Mode Yachzir Labal Ena Bal Mode. If the Baal is denying that he owes the Ksuba, he claims that he was Porea, then Lo Yachzir Lo Lezev Lo Lezev. We're Choshesh for Piron when the Baal admits. I mean, the Baal claims, excuse me, that he was Porea. Pamedvar Mamurim, Shenis Arbala, O Shenis Garsha, Aval Oda Tachas Baila, Yachzir Leisha. In other words, we don't assume that he was Porea, his Ksuba before the time of Gerushin. That's called Oda Tachas Baila. And therefore, we can return the Shtar to the Isha. This is Reisha of the Brisa, is not reflecting the Shita of the Chachamim, but rather Shita of Rabbi Yossi, Sheh. And we add the word Sheh, the letter Sheh. Sheh hoy Rabbi Yossi Omer, Oda v'tachas bayil yachzir l'isha, Nisarmel niskar shel yachzir lo lezev lo lezev. And the Brisa is concluding by telling you that all the above reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. And he's the one who says that we have to be Choshesh Lepiron, with the exception of the case of Oda Tachas Baila. The Ritva adds a comment here. He says, Av Shevishtar Acher, a different Shtar other than Ksuba, Rabbi Yossi is Choshesh Lepiron, and that's Bein Betok Zmano, Bein Liachar Zmano. In other words, the language of the Brisa, Nafal Liad Dayon, Lo Yotzi U Olamis, without qualification, the Stama, the indication of the Brisa is that in the case of Shtar Chov, since it's ultimately going to be paid, therefore with Choshesh Lepiron, even Tokzmano, Ksuba is a little different. Because in the case of Ksuba, it's possible they'll never pay the Ksuba. So the Chiv of the Ksuba is conditional, and it's generated by either his death, if the husband dies before her, or his divorce. But if, let's say, she dies before him, then he doesn't pay the ksuba. So we're not choshish that a person would pay up a chov that he's not chayav in. A person might have a chov and pay it up even before the term has, you know, the termination of the time, the expiration date has already arrived. He might jump the gun and say, let me get this chov off my head. You know, I'm cleaning up from this year's debts and so forth and so on, but he's not going to do so in a case where there is no chiv at all, i.e. in the case of a ksuba where she may die first and he may not ever be chayv in the ksuba. Now, the Gemara offers, in the name of our Papa now, an alternative answer to the original contradiction in Rabbi Yossi. Says Rav Papa, Liolam lo tepach. You don't have to turn the Brisa inside out and change the names. And really, Rabbi Yossi holds that we're not Choshesh Lepiron. I, the Brisa, in the case of Shtar Ksuba, quotes Rabbi Yossi as saying that we're Choshesh Lepiron, and therefore is Matzah Shtar Ksuba B'shuk is Yachzir Leisha. Why aren't we Choshesh Lepiron? And the answer is Rabbi Yossi li divrayim de Rabbanon ka amri lahu. Rabbi Yossi is talking to the Rabbanon and he says to them following, Lidi di afil nis armala unis garsha nami lo chai shina lipiron. Even in a case where the chiyuv has emerged, either through Misa Sabal or Gerushin, I'm still not Choshesh Lipiron. And therefore, Yachzir Leisha, we return the Shtar Ksuba to the wife. Let her collect the Ksuba, not Choshesh Lipiron. Lididchu, according to Yoshi, did that with Choshesh Lipiron, Odu Limias, at least be molded to me in the case of Odu Tachas Paila, because a person is not going to jump the gun and pay up a chiv when that chiv itself is questionable, whether he's going to be chayv or not. The Yachzili Isha. That in this case, we don't assume that the Baal was, the possibility that the Baal was porea the chov or the ksuba, and therefore give back the ksuba to the Isha. The La Maspironi, because there's no chiv generated by this ksuba, and it's always possible that that chiv will never ever actually materialize if she dies first. The Amrulei Rabbanon, so the Rabbanon respond to this argument, this claim of Rabbi Yossi, and they say, no, even in Ode Tachas Baila, we're still going to be Choshesh Lipiron. Why? Amar Srari Atfisa. It could be that at the time of the marriage, or shortly thereafter, the Baal gave the Isha Srari, which are Mos Tsuros, which is a kind of metaltal. Basically, he gives it to her as a kind of collateral. And he says, let this remain in your possession for the purpose of Piron the Kasuba. And that's generally, that's accepted practice. And what that means is that he's saving on the hassle of having to collect her Kasuba. Let's say, for example, he dies. So she's going to have to sue the Yarshim until she gets her Kasuba. It's a whole long spiel. But now that she has Tsrari, she has money in her possession, in her account, she could just simply circumvent the whole Piron, the whole enterprise of going through the judiciary, through the desert to collect her ksuba. She just simply maintains and continues her possession over these Tsrari. Now, if we would return the shtar ksuba to the isha, so then the taina would be the part of the isha that she never received tsrari, and therefore he's going to have to pay her a second time around. So again, once you accept this principle that tsrari atvasa, that's basically the same as choshesh lipiron. We can't give back the shtar to the isha and have a collect a ksuba second time around. Now Ravina is going to offer a third reconciliation. Liolam lo tepach kamaisa. You don't have to switch around the names in the first brisa. And Rabbi Yossi, in fact, is the one who's choshesh lipiron and not the chachamim. And according to the chachamim, if somebody pays up the chov, then he definitely rips up the shtar. And therefore, we're not choshesh lipiron. Piron is a very weak claim because he should have ripped up and destroyed the shtar. The time of the Rabbanan de Hacha and the underlying reasoning of the Chachamim for not being choshesh lipiron, in other words, in the second brisa where we don't return the ksuba to the isha. That's not because of choshesh lipiron, but for a different reason. The chayshina mishum the chayshina l'shtei ksubos. Now, if a shtar ksuba is lost, then the baal has to return, has to rewrite the ksuba, and give her another ksuba. Now, it's possible that if she wants to lie, she could claim that the ksuba. So, one second, who's lying here? it's not that he claims parati, but he's claiming that she's holding on to a second shtar, and that the shtar, the ksuba that she's presenting, in Bezdin, is the original ksuba, but there's another ksuba. So now if you're going to give her the second ksuba that you found, then even though we're not choshesh lepiron, but we have to be choshesh for shtei ksubos. So again, what are we holding now? We're holding now that there's a different reason entirely in the second brisa. So why the Chacham hold you don't return the shtar ksuba to the isha? And again, it has nothing to do with chayshin lepiron, but rather chayshin l'shtei ksubos. So she has a second ksuba, which was written under the assumption that she lost the first ksuba, but she may have access to the first ksuba. Now by returning the ksuba to the isha, she'll be able to collect not once, but twice. She'll have to go to a different bezdin problem. And Rabbi Yossi says, l'shtei ksuba sol chayshino. He's not worried about the possibility of two ksubas. Now, in the case of this armula on this garsha, Rabbi Yossi says that we don't return the ksuba to the isha. And the reason for that is because kevon she'eino choshesh l'shtei ksuba. So if the Baal is moda that he never paid back the ksuba, even though it was after the gerushin, so then Rabbi Yossi says that what should be the issue here? Are we afraid that the Baal gave her two ksuvas? That we don't have to be afraid of. Of course, Rav Yossi is not choshesh l'shtei ksuvas. And in this case, we're not choshesh that the Baal paid back the ksuva because in this case, the Baal is moda that he wasn't, that he did not in fact pay back the ksuva. And the Shita Megubetzis adds, in the name of the Gilyon HaTosfos, that the Gemara here is only according to the Chacham, and Rabbi Yossi, in fact, holds that only in the case of this Armel and this Garsha, then we don't give back the Ksuba, because then we're Choshesh Lepiron. And he himself, the Baal, is Toin Parati, that he paid back the Ksuba after the get. Now, in the case of this armel, it's a little bit more complicated because where do we have his taina parati if he's not alive anymore? But maybe he passed on that taina to Bezdin or to his yarshim, and they put forth the taina on his behalf. So all this is in the shita mekubetzes, and we believe that tomorrow we'll talk more about the Ritva and his understanding of this sugya, and I'll take this opportunity to stop now.